Hey guys, welcome to My Happy Movies. This week we are watching a oft-requested, oft-demanded, a oft-required movie, Howard the Duck. Stars Leah Thompson, the pre-Troubles Jeffrey Jones, a lot of very weird, sexy banter, and yeah, a very weird Tim Robbins and some light Cleveland bash. Also, I guess more power to Leah Thompson for trying to reboot it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Consider joining our Patreon, patreon.com/myopia. And if you're interested in hearing some movie riffs, consider joining patreon.com/cineprod as well. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Bye.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we tackle the same cocaine-fueled George Lucas movie that every other bad movie podcast has done. Back to the Future. Ghostbusters. Howard the Duck, the movie that wishes it could be either of those other two movies. I'm host Nick Hoffman, riffer on Cineprov, and on panel we've got...
Atlanta author Matthew W. Quinn. Check out my Amazon page.
I am no longer Daniel. The transformation is complete. I am now someone else.
There is no Daniel, only Zool. And on panel we have...
Norch Arnett. I might say something good, I might say something bad, but it's nothing as bad as this movie.
You'll say something about Howard, which...
I'll always say something about Howard.
This movie, if you haven't seen it, first of all, you should also buy the 4K because I don't want to be the only one who spend that money.
I bought this movie. There was a dollar difference between renting it and buying it, so I ended up buying it.
I'll get Tammy and the T-Rex on 4K. I will not get this on 4K.
You can rent it at Videodrome on 4K.
You know, I was actually just there the other week for the first time ever. I got a T-shirt.
This movie, for those of you who don't know, is a George Lucas passion project. Before he directed Star Wars, and after THX 1138 and American Graffiti were a hit, he wanted to make this movie.
No.
But it was so bad of a pitch, they waited until after Return of the Jedi. Second of all, this is the first movie that used computers to erase wires. So that scene at the very beginning where Howard gets exploded through this thing and they pull him through all those sets.
Oh, with the duck boobies?
The duck boobies. We'll get there. The evolution of all species end with breasts. They erased the wires to pull him through, and that was used with computers, something that was used before it was used in any other movie, because they wanted to lose money on this movie, apparently.
Well, there is a happy ending about the money they lost on this movie, but we'll get there.
I'm sure there was a happy ending.
I'm sure George Lucas did get a very nice hand job at the end of this.
Oh, boy. So,
did you know that his little garbler, starts shrieking and making mating calls whenever it's aroused?
Oh god, that weird. That's so weird. So if you have not seen this movie, the plot is stupid.
There is no plot until halfway through the movie.
Well,
you're right.
Yeah.
He gets an alien duck, gets brought to our world by accident, and hooks up with this small-time rock star. In the meantime, something else is brought to Earth.
Marty McFly's mom.
Yes, yeah. He comes to that weird, strange, magical land of Cleveland, and Leah Thompson's there as like some sort of a... Has anybody else ever seen a Ladies and Gentlemen, the Fabulous Stains?
No.
Okay, well, that's what this band is Ladies and Gentlemen, the Fabulous Stains, which,
or
fine movie, go find that if you can,
or
early Laura Dern role.
Or, I was going to say, Wayne's World. It reminds me of the
Wayne's World 2. Was it 2?
Well, I mean, she's in both.
Oh,
but
she's in both.
Yeah, I mean, they're about to bust out Ballroom Blitz at any moment. It's pretty rough.
Now, I've actually got two questions for Matt here, because we talked about this off mic, but I want to get...
It's so funny.
I want to get this on mic. Matt, first and foremost, did you like this movie?
Yes. I thought it was hilarious.
All right, my second question. What the hell is it with you and bad movies with Thomas Dolby written songs that you think is okay? First it was the fucking Batty Rap, and now it's Howard the Duck?
The name is Batty. The logic is...
That was erecting. Not permission, Matt.
I didn't really like Ferngully that much. I do like the Bat song, but I like this movie. I thought it was funny.
I mean, there were some parts that were funny, but I still... First fucking 30 seconds, I'm seeing duck titties.
The opening was weak. I'll concede that.
Okay.
You're also allowed to laugh at a movie that's terrible.
Now, this movie is rated PG.
Even
back
though
in
80s PG.
80s PG.
No, okay. That's not fair. Because this is 2 years after PG-13 was invented.
I was wondering when that was an issue.
It was the first PG-13 movie officially was Red Dawn, I believe.
Yeah,
there was a scene in a, I think, a brothel with hot tubs?
Yes. And by the way, before anyone asks me, no, literally none of this was filmed in Cleveland, which is a lot. And the way you can tell is, first of all, the rolling hills, the Hollywood sign, and palm trees, none of which exist in Cleveland, Ohio.
When was the last time you were in Cleveland?
About a week ago.
I kid.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everybody. Cleveland.
Rock and roll hall of fame?
Leaving me hanging.
I will 100% yes. Leave you hanging for that.
I have been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cleveland's nice.
Cleveland's perfectly fine. Also, it's one of the best jokes from 30 Rock that everyone wants to just go to their own personal Cleveland.
Yes. Classic episode.
Also, it's so funny. I saw this in the IMDb Tribune. Who knows if it's real or not. One of the things is a very young, early acting career for Tim Robbins was in this, and he was wearing a Cleveland hat with a C on it. Apparently the first prop department showed up with one of those Chief Wahoo hats, and they're like, and George Lucas said, no, it's too racist. So they got rid of it, and they got just the same.
Oh, you mean the Cleveland Guardians baseball team?
Yes. As we're recording today, they've literally changed the name.
Changed
which,
it.
Yep.
Good on them.
Yep.
Because they did it before Washington football team, which is still Washington football team. But also, since the Indians are having a bad season, I guess that forcing everyone to buy new kit, probably yeah. A good financial move.
So what happens? So are they going to just like CGI scenes from Major Leagues now?
Oh, they're going to George Lucas those old games when they're on ESPN Classic.
Right. Now, you know, originally I didn't want to make Major League with some racism. So now it's just everyone is happy and they're waving at each other.
All right.
Also, I will say I remember 1995 when the Atlanta Braves beat those shitheads. But we... They had Chief Wahoo as their mascot, and we had Chief Nakahoma as a mascot, and both were super racist. And remember, this is 95, the year before we had the Olympics about peace and getting along.
And Izzy.
Yeah, right. And my teacher, my elementary school teacher, went on a march to protest that, which is one of those things that you realize later, oh, she was right. But at the time I was like, hey, a sub, let's draw more. But, you know, you learn, you live. In the meantime, there's a fucking duck in this. And by the way, emphasis on the fucking.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Because there's a used condom. And by the way, I don't know if any of you were sad enough in your life to have condoms in your wallet, but you left that shit in the wrapper. You don't have it unwrapped in your wallet. The gross perv duck, man.
We learned.
The opening kind of hints that he might have something going with two other ducks at the same time.
He has a play duck that he's flipping through.
And a play duck.
The opening is just everything that's wrong with this movie. There's a Play Duck magazine, like we referenced. There's a poster that he has framed on his wall for a movie called Breeders of the Lost Stork. And then there is an issue of Rolling Egg instead of Rolling Stone that he also has in his mail.
Hey, Steven, can I make fun of your movie? In my movie? I was an executive producer on both of them.
You sound like George Lucas in the middle of an orgasm there.
So, in the meantime, we should kind of get through just the basic plot. Fucking duck comes to Earth. Nothing matters for a while. He makes out with Leah Thompson. And in the act of figuring out who he is, another alien comes to Earth.
Some sort of dark overlord of the universe.
And possesses Jeffrey Jones.
A pre-troubles Jeffrey Jones. And that's it. After going to the... Cuyahoga Perry nuclear power plant. They then try to beam other monsters to Earth, and the movie ends. Here's why all of this is terrible. Howard the Duck is just a detective.
Is he?
In the comics, that's all he is. He's like a gritty...
Well, hence why they open it like it's we're about to meet Duck Sam Spade.
Yeah. You know, he's alone in his apartment because no dame can tame him. He's drinking a stiff whiskey.
He's got a cigar, I believe.
And he's looking at a Playboy because he's at the end of a previous case, we assume. But, like, that's who he's supposed to be. That's why this stinks to me of 2 years before Ghostbusters came out, because, like, there's monsters and they're possessing people. And, by the way, Tim Robbins looks like Rick Moranis. Like, he's the Keymaster. people are possessed. And well, at the end, there's the CGI monster. I was getting Jeffrey
Goldblum in the Fly situation going
also,
on.
Also, totally, there. Totally. Like, where there's the tentacle coming out of her mouth.
Right, he's just sweating and just...
Yeah, and there's a scene at a diner with nonsense happen.
The diner scene is hilarious.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's fine.
An angry mob tries to eat him.
Eventually.
But no, I did find it funny. They season him up, putting some celery in his mouth. That some type of a Japanese chef comes out of nowhere.
Oh, this dude, Japanese gets racist real quick. He goes, "Ho!"
Japanese restaurant, though.
It's not.
It's a diner.
No, it's some 50s diner.
Okay, they have we should talk about it eventually. But it's called Romeo Joey's or something like that. But it says it's a sushi fusion. It's Cajun sushi on the sign. And by the way, if you look closely.
In Cleveland.
Behind the sign, it literally says Italian restaurant. And they put Cajun sushi like a decal on the front of that fucker. But we have all these people wearing like gingham gowns, right? Like these women wearing plaid. And then there's just one Asian dude who shows up with a hatchet. And he's like, "We're going to fucking kill you for Cajun sushi," which is the most 80s a joke has ever been.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a Valium. Like, I'm so hot on this movie. Trinette, go.
No, the thing that really bothers me about this is that it's a fucking duck just running around Cleveland, and it's normal. And what bothers me the most is how Lea Thompson's character just have a duck fetish.
Yes.
Dude, she down instantly, to
pound. She just instantly accepts this duck after, okay, granted, the duck did save her life.
She wants that pate girl.
The duck did take her out of that bad Joe Jackson business of music deal. I'm just saying.
The duck made that guy an offer he can't refuse.
Basically.
I mean, when you're in the mood for a good corkscrewing, man, nothing else will do.
Dude, that condom better have been corkscrewed. That was weird.
First of all, we were told as soon as we got into college, do not put your condoms in your wallet. That's how you get pregnant.
That's right. Totally.
That's how you get pregnant?
That's how I get pregnant.
Maybe if you got it with a xenomorph.
Maybe.
Yeah. So apparently this was the first theatrical Marvel movie since Captain America 1944.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, has anybody read the original comics?
My dad might have, because he remembers them from college.
Your dad may have. What a great comment. I've read a few.
He knew about Howard the Duck. I was kind of surprised. Never knew he was into comics.
I've read a few.
So what's his backstory?
Thanks to my local library. No, I mean, he's exactly what he said. The whole joke is that he's, like you said, like an old, like a Spencer character, right? Like he's, you know, smoky, gravelly, dark room. So it's almost like someone said Howard the Dick, like he's a detective, and they're like, let's make him a duck. And so, like, the ones at least that I've read, which are the like late 90s reboot that they did, because everything Marvel must come back around, that's what he is. He's essentially a detective. He even shows up in the Amazing Squirrel Girl or Spectacular Squirrel Girl, which I've read. And he's literally trying to help a rich dowager get a cat out of a tree and then get sucked up into another adventure where he's fighting Thanos because he's just the lowest of the low-level detective. That's why this movie is stupid, because what he should be is, if he's on Earth, he's helping her get out of a jam.
Right.
And then, like, aliens come down for no reason and cocaine is just everywhere. This is the cokiest movie I've ever seen.
If you want to know who Howard the Duck is, the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, where he's just sitting there laughing at the destruction around him and drinking a martini. That's
Howard.
Yeah,
he was
Howard
part
the
of the collector's yes. collection. And then he was in the brothel in the second Guardians of the Galaxy.
He was.
He fucked a robot, which I watched watching this movie seems more normal. And then he was in a very glimpse in an Endgame where everyone came out of those portals. He's at there holding a gun. He was leaving the brothel from his little ring portal.
But that's where he needs to be, because again, if you're a low level like gritty ass cop, of course you're gonna like. Well, you need to think of him as Stryker from Mortal Kombat 3. Like, he's just a dude who's got a nightstick and a gun. Well, he's like, I'll fight your battles with you, but you're gonna pay me.
So you're saying in the comics he did help fight Thanos.
In the comic I read, in like Amazing Squirrel Girl or whatever it's called now, he helps Squirrel Girl out. Yes. Okay. But it's a joke because he's a gritty straight man to silliness going on.
Plus, I mean, that's Those cameos make sense because in the larger Marvel universe, it's like, oh, an alien duck. That's weird, but that's not out of the realm of possibility, so everyone's kind of okay with it. In this movie, everyone just looks at him and is like, oh, it's a 3-foot-tall man duck.
Yeah, and they also don't know if he's real or not.
And nobody ever makes any comments like, what the fuck is that thing?
They think
the scientist friend of Beverly's, who I think is really an intern or janitor or something, like somehow, you almost feel sorry for the little twerp because everyone thinks he's a child or a pet.
True.
Because he is a child and a pet.
Like at one point, Beverly decides she's going to help him out, so she takes him to her scientist friend, who's like an intern at the Natural History Museum, and he's like trying to make Howard the Duck manifest psychic powers and stuff, and Howard just gets so sick of him.
Now, who voices Howard the Duck?
That is an interesting question. I had it.
Well, so there's actually three people who have credits for being him, because Howard the Duck is, I think, a Henson creation. There's a duck puppet. There's a duck suit that there's a little person in. And then there's a voice actor who plays the voice acting wherever.
The voice is a guy named, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Chip Zien. Chip Zien.
That sounds right.
He was also in Brian De Palma's Snake Eyes, if anyone's ever seen that.
Right. And then the little person who's in the like costume is a guy named Ed Gale. But then when it's a puppet, he's directed by a guy named Tim Rose, who's also Admiral Akbar. And because remember, this is exec produced by
George Lucas.
And it's directed by a guy named Will Hayek, who was the screenwriter on a bunch of stuff, including this and American Graffiti. So like he's also a Lucas buddy.
Was he the guy who also wrote, what was that shitty movie with all those baby boomers coming back together after Kevin Costner dies?
A Big Chill?
Yes, that's it. Is that the same guy?
I don't believe he did Big Chill, but he did more American Graffiti and French Postcards, so that's bad. He did Radioland Murders as well, which is...
Okay. I've never seen it, but I don't have a lot of faith in him after this movie.
Although he does have a screenwriting credit for Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, which I like more than this.
Yeah, well, I mean, one weird thing is how during the opening we get some sort of profound Orson Wellesian narration about, in the beginning, there was Howard the Duck.
Yeah, I think they claim that everything, that something that's real in one world can be fantasy in another, so Howard the Duck is a comics character in our world, but he's actually real somewhere else.
Explain that in the actual movie, then!
They don't explain it until like 30 minutes in.
Well, he's very generous.
Well, they do explain when they go to the museum how there's somewhat of a parallel universe where instead of we turn from like monkey to man.
Oh, is this where Tim Robbins completely fucks up explaining evolution?
Dude, Tim Robbins is working on a book that no one will read. So you know how humans came from monkeys. What if ducks evolved into things that can't fly or swim? Wow.
That interests me.
He sprouts a bunch of ancient aliens, Velofsky crap.
Yeah,
among other things.
Howard the Duck is a duck that cannot swim.
Or fly.
Or fly, which I get the flying part.
If God wanted us to fly, he wouldn't have taken away our wings. Actual dialogue in this movie.
But they can't swim? They can't.
He can't swim.
Oh, he can't swim. It's a choice. Okay.
Meanwhile, we go at one point we go to Cleveland's version of Brooklyn to see the Cherry Bombs play, and that's where Leah Thompson is the guitarist and lead singer.
Anyone else get a Runaways vibes?
Dude, so many vibes. This is what the 80s were. Shitty bars. And again, Blues Brothers reference. There's chicken wire over it so people can't throw bottles. And they're playing Ballroom Blitz or whatever the fuck they're playing at the beginning. By the way, the audience hates them. And every time Howard shows up, they're more interested in him, of course, until the end when they're the stars and they're singing about Howard the Duck.
And plus, Howard the Duck actually plays in the band with them, which I think is kind of established early. He was a frustrated musician.
He's shredding like Eddie Van Halen in that scene.
It's Back to the Future.
Yeah, it's Back to the Future.
It's Back to the Future. Your kids are going to love this. No. Okay. It was so boring at this point in the movie. I was looking up if Dolby Surround Sound was named for Thomas Dolby.
Other way around.
Yeah. I was wrong, but I was completely lost at this point.
One of the big things about this is... Howard goes, we see the band. Apparently, the band's manager is just there because he really wants to sleep with Leah Thompson.
And he's stealing their money.
Yes.
He's stealing their money.
So, what, Howard beats him up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
with Quack Foo.
And he takes a power drill to his ear.
Wait, what?
No,
he has one ear pierced. He's like, I'm going to pierce the other one. He's got like either a drill
no,
or a
big needle.
No,
he has an ice
pick.
They're on the bar. He beats him up. They slide across the bar, and there's an ice pick. And he has the ice pick through an earring. And he says, I'll pierce the other one. And the guy is so shocked that he could pierce another ear that he hands over rights to this band, I guess. Whatever.
That's why I said he made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
Sure. And anyway, this movie then putters along. I don't know what to tell you. Leah Thompson takes him back to her house after walking in the rain.
After he saves her from a couple of punks.
House, by the way, that even by 1980s Cleveland standards.
That's a halfway house, by the way.
I don't think it was a halfway house. That was a pretty decent sized
house.
No,
it's a shithole.
It's big, but it's kind of trashy.
It was, okay, industrial.
This is Reagan's America. They got rid of all the factory jobs. This is an abandoned place. This is the time period where Cleveland's population dropped by half. In fact, I looked this up. Every single scene of this is filmed in L.A., but for those of you who've ever been to Cleveland, which I think I'm the only one here, it looks like where Great Lakes Brewing Company is now, which is an abandoned factory which went out of business during the Reagan administration because they moved those jobs to China. So that's what this looks like.
The only good thing about Cleveland was, you know, LeBron. And now he's not there anymore.
Well, he took his talents to Miami, if I recall correctly.
They came back to Cleveland and then left Cleveland to go to L.A.
And then shat the bed to make a new Space Jam.
True. True.
And the whole gag here, which is, I'm sure that in the comics he's in Cleveland for some reason, but there's no need for this to be in Cleveland. Nothing here is even
nothing
close
significant.
To
it's just a town.
It just it looks like a copy of nothing. It's supposed to be a noir. It looks like a noir, kind of. And George Lucas is in the background doing rails off of Yoda. Like, so after taking him back to her house, he falls asleep. She looks at him lovingly, and she's going to have another weird relationship.
I think I kind of like it.
And she's rummaging through his wallet and finds dollar bills with duck presidents on them.
And that's where we find the condom. And everything in his wallet is a joke. Like, he's from Washington, D.C.
yeah. It's puns on everything.
It's all puns.
It's all puns.
Which is maybe why I like it so much. I really like puns.
The puns, I got you.
There's a way to make a good pun. This is an it.
It's a duck pun.
Yeah, it's a duck pun.
It was ducky.
George Washington.
George Washington.
Yeah, no, and it's all, there's, I mean, and we didn't even talk about Norse duck boobies. When he's
I'm good.
Taking through,
well, are like, you sure?
He's sitting in like a barca lounger, and he gets sucked through time, and he breaks through this wall, and there's just a lady duck with boobies having like a white wine bath.
She seemed
like you do.
Yeah. And again, this is rated PG.
For them boobies.
For them boobies. That's probably the only scene. They probably saw duck titties like, it can't be ragey, guys.
It's like in an action movie, you can kill non-humans with blood and it's okay, but the second a human dies, you get an R rating.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How many furry conventions existed before this movie came out?
I think this
the same
spawned.
Amount as after this came out. I'm sorry.
Are you sure?
Yeah, this isn't the Robin Hood with the foxes from the 70s. That's a sexy ass movie. This isn't Zootopia or whatever.
Oh my god!
All them foxes fucking them rabbits.
So
go on.
At this point, what the fuck? Okay, so he comes to the apartment
after the whole thing with her apartment. That's when we go to the Museum of Natural History, meet Tim Robbins, and just checking my notes here.
Yeah, Tim Robbins is convinced of this evolutionary change, and he is someone that she knows. And I guess in an attempt to flirt with her, he says he's a professor or a doctor of some sort. Turns out that he's like an intern, a research assistant.
He's the low man on the totem pole.
Jeff Jones is the head of the department, and he'll come into play later.
But in the meantime, Howard is so frustrated with this whole situation, he storms off, ends up homeless, and gets a job at the unemployment agency. at a what's essentially a brothel.
Well, first of all, he tries to bite the ass of the woman who's in charge of the unemployment office.
She's good at her job.
She's never not had a placement, apparently.
Because everyone's probably terrified of that woman.
No matter what the freak comes through, she's never not had a placement.
Also,
you may be a 3-foot-tall alien duck, I'm going to get you a job.
No, I'm going to stop you there. What people think Howard is really weird throughout this movie. Because, like, there's that... I don't know. I'm sure the credit said, like, cute girl in diner. The one who's the waitress with the glasses, who's kind of like the hip-dee-dip-dee chick, is convinced it's a kid in a costume. And she's like, oh, it's such a cute thing. Like, she's, like, kind of fawning on him. Some people think he's a monster. Some people scream.
At one point, he said he was a seeing eye duck.
Tim Robbins knows that he's some sort of anthropomorphic duck right away, but isn't freaked out by it.
And the diner, like, I'm sorry, we don't allow pets.
Yeah. And yet, like, all these are jokes for no one. And again, you might be thinking, oh, Hoffman's being hard on shit. This movie cost $38 million.
For what?
That's a good question.
I will say, if the costumes are real, that's expensive.
It was given, like, some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle vibes, but yeah.
It made back $30 million. This movie took a huge loss and is considered one of the, you know, worst movies. It won like 6 Razzies. It's awful. This also is that question of who is this for?
Yeah, it's not a kid's movie at all. But I think the Howard the Duck comics are not kids' comics.
So,
they're
yes,
not.
But I'm going to correct you there, Matt. If that's the case, don't make it PG. Because they clearly were trying to make it a kid's movie.
So who's this movie for now? For now, I would say for our age people.
Stoners.
If people like... was it Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, duck porn. This movie.
Yeah, everything except for Rule 34. This is worse than
Rule 34.
Anything on the internet can become, or no, anything can become pornography. That's Rule 34.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but like that's what this seems like. Because again, this is Ghostbusters for idiots.
When do we get to the scene where the Overlord comes and possesses Jeffrey Jones? I know it's after the. Howard,
right, but that was the voice.
After Howard is homeless on the street
and quits his brothel job.
Yeah, he quits his job at the hot tub place where there's more random nudity. And again, like you're trying to pretend there's just duck titties, but like, I mean, it's Ohio, so it's nothing but white person after white person.
You know, Jerry Springer is in one of those rooms.
He
is. Serious?
Oh, that was a whole thing back in the day. He was an Ohio politician, and then
he
got
was the mayor of Cincinnati.
Yeah, and he worked on
Jerry.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh.
And he, I think, ran for Congress or something, but he got caught sneaking across the border into Kentucky to go to a brothel.
Which he paid for with a personal check.
Something like that, yeah.
And I forget if he was...
I just knew him as a talk show host.
He tried to run for governor of Ohio, and then he lost, and that's when he started his talk show, which was supposed to be serious, but then he realized, oh, fuck this. I can't get any ratings this way.
Let me start some shit. Okay. That's kind of cool.
I mean, and like... the whole name of the game was that, anyway, so there's a bunch of topless women making out with these dudes in this hot tubs, like, I mean, it's a brothel. I don't know how else to describe it. He has a t-shirt, though, that comes back later, which is a joke.
He also finds out right around here that there are duck hunters on this planet.
Oh. And eventually at the diner, he finds that people eat eggs, even
carnivores.
The chicken eggs.
Yeah, I was about to say. He's like talking about cannibalism. And it's like, those are chicken eggs. And besides, even if they were duck eggs, they ain't your ducks because they're not from your planet.
So how does he know? Oh, you think the same laws of pro-choice and things like that happen?
It's an anti-abortion film. No, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I was actually going to say, like, I wonder if there's, like, a health video, like, right. The dangers of eating fried eggs.
It's just bad for your cholesterol, and you're killing someone.
That's right. So just
like, God, I can't eat fried eggs now.
Why? Because you don't want to upset Howard?
Yeah.
You know what he'll do? You know what he'll do to nerves, you know, behind? You know he bites people?
Seriously. He uses duck foo. I don't want that shit in my life.
Actually, I'm a... Right after Howard quits his job and finds out about the duck hunters, he meets Leah Thompson again and Tim Robbins, who's apparently the boyfriend of one of her bandmates.
Sure.
Good on him.
Yeah, because they make jokes about, like, neither of them can do any better.
And he also thinks Aztecs came from Mars.
Was that a theory he had, or was it actually he said that?
He says that.
He said that.
He goes into this whole Ancient Aliens thing, like Matt alluded to earlier, about, like, ancient people used to worship ducks because blah, 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 blah.
Which they didn't.
No, none of this is true.
Well, I'm glad he did Shawshank.
I'm glad he eventually had a career, yeah.
How old was he when this movie came
out? Like
he
15.
No, he looked probably early 20s. He looked young.
He was young.
Yeah, he was very young.
Last thing I saw him in was the Green Lantern movie.
Ooh. That was a while ago.
I mean, he has a career. It's just, I mean, this is Rick. He's playing Rick Moranis from Ghostbusters.
He is, well, I mean, though, considering it's Rick Moranis, it's Tim Robbins, excuse me. It's a Rick Moranis stacked on top of another Rick Moranis with a trench coat over him.
Sure, but he is playing the goofy, like, oh no, they're coming after me. Are you the Keymaster?
No, he's the Keymaster. He's looking for the Gatekeeper.
That's right.
The Duckmaster.
So, Daniel, tell us about this transformation scene. How does it occur?
Oh, well, we're skipping ahead there. What happens is after he meets Leia Thompson, well, we can't forget the bit where Leia Thompson invites Howard into her bed while
I was really hoping
lingerie,
to skip that part because
so they can
I felt
watch Letterman
very,
together.
It's very uncomfortable, the whole scene.
And she tries to have her way with him.
Yes.
Right.
But then Geoffrey Jones shows up as she's about to have her way with him.
Some fellatio relationships, yes.
Yeah, and then he's the one who brought Howard to Earth. It was some sort of experiment with a laser that went horribly wrong. Do, 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 do.
And so he could try to send Howard back home.
Right, but first, Howard at one point is detained by the police on the charge of being an illegal alien. Did that happen in this movie?
Yes. It did happen in this movie.
Someone beat my pun by about 20 years.
Well, anyway, after that, Geoffrey Jones tries to turn the laser back on, but then it goes wrong, and police show up, the scientists are randomly arrested, and then something possesses Geoffrey Jones, so
he spends the rest of the movie talking like this.
And I'm not sure if that's Geoffrey Jones doing it or because there's an uncredited voice for the Dark Overlord or somebody else, but it's impressive.
It is. And I did like I mentioned before, I did like the whole transformation scene with the whole, you know, turning into the fly, essentially, but turning into this just like overlord type.
Yeah, so you have Howard, you have Beverly, and you have Dr. Dennings, whatever his name is.
Dr. J.
They're in a diner. They all go to a diner, and I think Beverly and Howard are trying to manage this strangely acting and increasingly aggressive scientist. And they end up in a brawl with a biker gang or something.
What is he saying? Hey, you going to order something, Jack?
I am not Jack, and I don't want to order anything.
But again, this is all Dana becoming Zool. This is the monster inside of him is coming out. It's very bizarre. None of this, it makes no sense. I have no idea.
That's the Ghostbuster thing. The possession and the, you know, the powers and the beast inside of you.
Something's real weird because Geoffrey Jones comes back and at first he's acting normal, but then he says that, oh my God, there's something inside of me. And then he turns into the Dark Overlord and starts some weird comments.
Well, and the laser thing, when it goes off, shoots him through a wall and he disappears and no one knows where he is. And he kind of comes out behind this like cinder block and he's like, I'm fine. Where have I been? I can't drive because I feel funny and etc.
He apparently is driving, by the way, the Griswold's car from the first Vacation.
I noticed that.
Nothing like a wood-paneled station wagon.
Mm-mm.
To remind you that it's 1985 or whatever.
After that, we get the diner scene, and I didn't realize that this was a Cajun sushi place, because why are they all wearing Japanese headbands?
Cajun sushi Italian.
Ah.
That's what you said.
Fusion.
Fusion.
Well, because it's a punchline. Everything in this movie is a joke that starts with a line of cocaine. And they're like, you remember how weird sushi was? Sushi's fine. I love sushi. But in the 80s, it was a punchline. Everything really? Was a punchline. Dude, raw fish? Are you kidding me? You're eating raw fish? Watch 80s movies. I'm sure it's a joke in Die Hard, in Lethal Weapon. It's the laziest.
I love sushi. Okay.
Well, because it was exotic back then.
True.
Well, and it was also weird Asian, ? So Cajun sushi, which I'm sure is a joke, because this movie has money. That's the other disgusting thing. Like, there's so much money here, but whatever. Cajun sushi, the girl shows up with the giant horn rims and this headband on over a gingham dress.
And eventually truckers go and threaten the gang.
It's It's always with these truckers in movies, you know?
Because everyone in the 80s is a rapist, I guess, and they're just like, Leah Thompson is hot. Let's have our way with her.
Yeah. Well, this is where we get to the scene you were talking about where Howard's about to be cooked. Like, he's splayed out on the table, and they're, like, putting spices on him and shit.
And the chef comes up with a meat cleaver and cut his head off.
Well, and in the meantime, Jeffrey Jones has, other than eviscerating people, has this, like, weird key card thing that makes the laser work.
Oh, the goober.
The goober.
The goober.
And they convince him to give it to them, yada, yada, yada.
Well, I think either Howard or Leah Thompson asks Jones to save Howard because it's like, hey, those guys have the goober that you need. And so he does so, and the truckers all fuck off, but then he takes that code key with him.
Yeah, I mean,
after like telekinetically throwing Howard around the diner.
After his scene from Poltergeist. Let's call it what it is.
Doctor-geist?
Boo. I see what you did there.
Boo. You know what? You know what, Matt? Go to timeout. Yeah, go to timeout. No, seriously, go to that corner over there. Go stand in that corner.
Turn off the mic. Cut the mic. Speaking of Jerry Springer, just cut the mic. So while in the bar, diner, it's a diner. She brings out some Bud Heavies, and the whole thing goes to shit.
Well, yeah, because Jones kidnaps Thompson, and then cops show up at the diner. Robbins gets arrested, and Howard eventually manages to avoid detection and, like, freeze Robbins.
Mind you, this is, like, 45 minutes to an hour in the movie,
Oh,
right?
This is, like, an hour 15 in the movie.
Like, this is the part I was telling you earlier. Like, we don't get the plot until fucking an hour into the movie.
This movie has no driver. Again, we talked about First Kid a million years ago, but, like, in a script, you have to have something. Like, what you needed, if that's the case, the timer for him needs to be from the beginning. We created a black hole or something, a wormhole. It's going to close in 12 hours unless we can get you back through it. Nah, this is all just lazy. Like,
what if the duck fucked?
What if he was laying pipe with Leah Thompson this whole time?
Mm.
Anyway, Howard frees Robbins from the back of the police car, and then they steal a Wright Brothers plane.
An ultralight.
Yes.
They're
I guess.
They're about to do a touching documentary on the Disney Channel. And they I don't know what the fuck this thing is.
And they have an overly prolonged chase scene that, and other things, involves them dive bombing Duck Hunter as well. He's yelling, Torah, Torah, Torah.
And then in the middle of all that, we get a...
Stop. Fuck you for liking that. Because how does he know that reference?
That's one of those things you don't think about too hard.
It's probably in the duck world.
A World War II movie. Everything else we've seen is bad duck puns, like Breeders of the Lost Ark. They're referencing a movie that no one gives a shit about until you make, what was that horrible movie, Red Wings?
Red Tails.
Red Tails. This movie sucks.
Well, I mean, even beyond that, though, there's another bit where Jones goes into that nuclear power plant and like actually climbs into the reactor.
Because there's a million kilowatts there, and I'm like, a million kilowatts
That's a pocket feature reference.
21 gigawatts!
After one point, like a tentacle comes out of his mouth and plugs into a cigarette lighter.
To get more power, yes.
It's like something out of the show The Strain.
How on earth does this creature know what a kilowatt is? Is that like a universal constant?
Who gives a shit, man?
It could be. I mean, it's the most heightened power. I mean,
he's about to overloids. Turn into a CGI claymation slug thing.
Which, like, by the way, wasn't bad for the 80s.
It wasn't, but remember, this is 2 years after the Marshmallow Man and Ghostbusters. That's what I'm saying.
That was done by a miniature scale, if I'm correct.
Well, I'm sure the tentacle thing was too.
True.
Oh, they just that's not to say you're wrong. It's just to say this is still Ghostbusters. You got to have the monster that comes out of the head, man.
Which we kind of, well, that is what that, I described it as a cross between the Rancor and Pinchy. I'm glad you got that, Nick.
I didn't, my bad.
You're
Pinchy!
All right.
Well, I mean, yes, there's that big chase scene in the plane, including several times where they end up on the ground and Howard's trying to take off. And one time where Robbins has to fix the fuel line, and he ends up falling in the water. Well, not falling, but he's like suddenly at the bottom of the plane.
And he's stuck to the bottom of the plane, and Howard's trying to kill him for the insurance money or whatever is happening.
Well, what happens is Howard picks him back up. It's like, this is no time for water sports. I'm like, this is a fucking kids movie.
Oh, dude, they're talking about piss play. I'm like the president.
What kids movie? What was an 80s kids movie, since you just mentioned that?
The Goonies.
Goonies would be one. We did okay. Labyrinth on this podcast, Dark Crystal on this podcast.
So there were some dark kids movies in the 80s.
Oliver and Company, where Fagin nearly kills everyone.
When did Fido Goes West come out?
That was also the 80s.
Late 80s or early 90s?
I think the first
the original
Fievel,
An American Tale, is the late 80s. I think Fievel Goes West might be early 90s.
All Dogs Go to Heaven?
That was the 80s.
So there was very dark kids movies.
It was the Reagan's era. Everything was dark. We're going to die. The Russians are going to kill us. You know.
Might as well. Okay.
Yeah, I gotcha. We have no hope.
Yep. Anyway, speaking of...
You can do all the cocaine and then talk to a duck. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. After that long-ass flight chase, we get back...
That was for legit. They were shooting at this thing. And nothing exploded. That's the other thing. There was all these... I wouldn't call it CGI. It's just the water.
Speaking of water sports, ladies and gentlemen...
was there any explosions? At the
end when they destroy.
I'm talking about this police. They had a police that they were shooting this duck with the shotguns and with these fuel lines just leaking everywhere. I wanted to have the fucking Point Break, Lethal Weapon explosions.
No, that never happened.
I got this
nuclear power plant should have exploded and ended the movie.
Boom.
Well, I mean,
they're flying over the Cuyahoga River. They could have had the river catch on fire.
They could have had an early scene of the BP oil spill or something. I don't know.
Howard washed up on shore covered in oil.
Oh, that's a good commercial for Dawn.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they get to the lab.
At one point, she finds feathers in her bed. She goes, "What's this?" He goes, "Leftovers."
Yes.
Right? I didn't catch that.
Yep. That happened.
They had duck sex.
Well, they do get back to the lab, and Jeffrey Jones, as the Dark Overlord, is restarting that laser to bring more of his species onto Earth, and he's once to use Leia Thompson as a human host.
Right.
And so Tim Robbins and Howard steal like some sort of a big gun from the storage locker that's apparently not really all that secure.
Yeah, it's supposed to be something they were to sell the military. The military didn't want it.
So fucking Howard fucking karate chops the door open.
Yes, he does.
That's how secure it is. Quack food it open.
It says, no entry, and then the karate chops this as access granted, which I'm sure just killed someone.
And then what? The gun is, in a steel cage that's, got one padlock on it.
Okay, so recently I read a book called A Stupid and Futile Gesture, which is about essentially National Lampoon. But he's talking about seeing the first I think it was Airplane and realizing that he's lost. Comedy is done.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and he did. He wrote Caddyshack and Animal House. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but, that's what this feels like. He's just no, we can do what they did in Airplane. Because that's what these jokes are. They're just airplane jokes done by someone who has no idea how to be funny. It's so stupid.
Although, to be fair, this does foreshadow Dragon Ball Z fights when the Overlord is shooting at the weapon and then Howard's firing back.
Yeah, in the closet. Okay, I see that.
Yeah, and he's on this little, it's a scene from Austin Powers. He's on this little cart thing with a gun.
It's like a Jeep if they had one of those eraser guns on it.
Yeah. That's true, not a bad true, description. True.
And Jeff, pre-Troubles Jeffrey Jones is shooting hand lasers out it's George Lucas. It's the Emperor. It's the Emperor with his Force magic. Same dude 2 years before. And he's throwing the Force magic, and Howard's shooting back at the laser.
Unlimited power!
Yeah, and then, well, not in this case, though, because Jones loses.
Well, let me ask you a Star Wars question. Okay, you said that the first Star Wars movie was not Return of the Jedi.
First one is
New Hope.
Which is called Star Wars. It's 77.
77, and this movie came, and then what?
And then Empire, I think, is 81?
80.
Empire. And then Empire is 83.
You mean Return of the Jedi is 83.
So this movie came out after Return of the Jedi.
Yes. Right. It's the first thing he produced after that. Now, he had done beforehand Raiders of the Lost Ark as an executive producer directed by Spielberg, but him and they were buddies. This movie was really more him on his own because the director was a buddy of his who was a screenwriter. He didn't want to direct it, but he's behind the scenes giving all the notes. He's the one who got the puppet guys. He's the one who approved the script. It's all his money.
Yeah. I mean, it's all Lucasfilm's money. Plus, he's got ILM doing the special effects.
Yeah. And the thing is, the problem is the script and the directing. The movie looks incredible. I have it in 4K.
You have the people to do it.
You have the effects. You have an incredible puppet suit. But this script is dog shit. I'm sorry. The jokes are awful.
Well, plus they repeat the same thing. We're not quite at the end yet. Do you think we should go ahead and skip to there?
No, go there.
We're already pretty much there anyway.
Well, we are. After the first fight, the Overlord gets separated from Jeffrey Jones, so he comes back to normal, but then we're
super normal, by the way, like unfazed.
Yeah, and then we got the Rancor Pinchy offspring, and that eventually Howard kills that with the same weapon, so we've already seen that scene. I don't know why. And then three other overlords are coming through the laser portal.
And they're all the exact same fangly.
Just copy and paste.
Yep.
Copy and paste.
And, Howard stops stops them from coming through by destroying the machine, which means he's stuck on Earth. But, he decides he's okay with that because now he gets to manage Leah Thompson's band.
And then we That's end, like, we're Wayne's World. But, like, him and now Tim Robbins, dressed like he's Thomas fucking Dolby, are manning this show, and now all of a sudden they're a huge hit, which is nonsense.
Call him Howard the Duck. I think
this is up there with the Ninja Rap as terrible songs that should never be in movies.
Oh, but Ice, Vanilla Ice.
Go Ninja.
Go Ninja.
Go Ninja. Go.
Second season, check out the Patreon.
I would say this is better than Ninja Rap because Thomas Dolby is actually talented.
And this spoofs Back to the Future, as we mentioned before.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's literally, Howard the Duck? You should listen to this. I mean, it comes out and he's playing Johnny B. Good.
How old is Leah Thompson right now?
Now?
Yeah. And
now.
She wants to direct?
Yeah. She's in her 50s.
Late 50s, early 60s, maybe?
Oh, she can do it.
Yeah, she wants to. She said on Twitter she wants to direct a Howard the Duck reboot.
Yeah. I let her.
Now, yeah. This movie.
You hear us, Kevin Feige?
Well, okay, yeah. I guess that would be the only reason.
So I'll go ahead and say this. This movie does technically have a happy ending. And no, I'm not talking about Leah Thompson and Howard the Duck
and a
meeting
weird
backstage. You know what? Peacock TV cut out this scene. And it's like, I can't be bothered to go check what actually happens. But yeah, it ends with a brief credit sequence. And then there's, I guess, a stinger. And then it's over.
Yeah.
The happy ending is this. So after this movie bombed, Lucas sold part of ILM, his special effects division that were known for their animation effects, to Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was the guy who was really pushing them. It's like, hey, you've got some great software here that you've developed. You need to go and sell that and like advertising it. So they did that, and Disney bought some of their software in order to automate their animation process. At the same time that happened, they started experimenting with making a little computer animated short films. Well, Disney got very interested in that. It's like, hey, you guys want to maybe do one of those as a feature length film for us? And they're like, yeah, okay. So Howard the Duck is literally why Pixar exists.
And that's why the effects in this look incredible. This movie bankrupted so many people that Pixar exists.
You're welcome, Tom Hanks.
That's right. First of all, you're welcome, Tim Allen. That's the only reason why Tim Allen has a career. Tom Hanks is fine. Don't worry about Tom Hanks.
He's fine.
Worry about Tim Apple. In the meantime, let's go around the horn. Matt, why is this the Academy Award winner for best film Matt ever made?
I just thought it was funny. I mean, the chase scene where they're all flying went on too long. But it's entertaining. It's kind of dumb, but I thought it was hilarious.
We were watching two different movies here, Matt. I mean, the jokes in this movie are so bad. They're like just Flintstones level duck puns.
Yeah.
That's all they are. And the effects are great. I do like the effects, especially the practical effects with the Dark Overlord. That looked good. But, I mean, in terms of the plot, in terms of the in terms of practically everything else, including the performances, this was just bad.
I own this movie somehow, on accident. It was to rent for $4.25 on Amazon or to purchase for $5. It was literally not that much of a difference. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to buy it. I regret it.
But no.
I'm going to watch this movie in a different way next time, and I'll come back to y'all and see how it happens.
So you'll be in the room where it happens?
I'll be in the room where it happens.
This movie, I had my mouth like agape the whole time. This is one of the most bafflingly bad movies I've ever seen. Like, Matt kept saying, like, it shouldn't have been a kid's movie. Well, it's not a kid's movie. They didn't try to do anything with it. Like, they could have picked it was a kid's movie. They could have made it an R-rated comedy. They made nothing. This movie is nothing. It's puns. It's a lot of puns. It's so many puns. But puns aren't funny. And if they are funny, they're like BBC television funny. This movie is not for anyone. Now, like, my usual thing is, like, if this was in Italian and you were reading subtitles, you'd enjoy this. You wouldn't. The effects are incredible. Now, I'm the opposite of you, though, Noor, because I'm happy I own this. Because no one's going to believe this exists. I need to show this to people. People are going to come over and they're like, what do you want to watch? You have to watch at least 20 minutes of Howard the Duck with me. They're duck titties for no reason. There's no other duck sexuality. At one point, cops beat him up and strip him down, and he's just a duck. He's a weird-looking duck, but he looks like Daffy Duck, right? Like when you do the duck season kind of bit, right?
Yeah, he's a white duck.
But he's just standing up like a normal duck.
Yeah.
Them's duck titties with nipples for no reason, as though they're the height of evolution, as though if you become the top of the, like, the evolutionary chain, you just develop nipples for no reason, as though they feed their young with milk. This movie is so much cocaine for no reason. It is shocking. No one should see this movie, but since it exists, everyone has to see this movie.
Agreed.
It's not funny. It's not fun. If watching this by myself, I just wanted to keep running in case I blacked out and knocked my face out on the console of my treadmill. But if people exist in your friend circle, you have to watch it with them. Because I'm telling you, you own this now, Noor. Next time people are at your house, you crack open the whiskey and just say, you're not going to believe this.
We're going to take shots every single time they reference anything.
You don't
sexual.
Have to watch the whole thing, especially when Tim Robbins is like, oh no. I mean, it's literally a scene out of the Sesame Street movie, Follow That Bird. They're just flying around for no reason and they're out of breath. Like, and then at the end, there's a musical number. This movie is such a fucking disaster. You have to see it. Anyway, we're out of time. I'm out of breath, and I need a drink. In the meantime, thank you for reviewing us, subscribing to us. Help us beat our competitors. Stab someone in the night. I mean, help us out. Review us. Join the Patreon. We have extra episodes, and I promise I'll catch up on them. But at the moment, I did the math. We have 27 extra hours of content that aren't on the main feed. So, if you want to hear more of us, we're there. You literally can spend a couple bucks a month. And guess what? We come out with new content every month. But when you buy that first month, you get access to all the old stuff. So it's a bargain right away. We appreciate it. And we put in the extra effort for you guys. So thanks for what you do. And keep reviewing us. Share us with your friends, because that keeps us on the charts. Where, as we're recording last week, we were 176th in the entire country for podcasts.
Woo!
Hoorah.
Fuck yeah.
And that's our country, America. For some reason, we've been in the top 10 in Ghana for the last year. So.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know. I love how Daniel looked at Noor for that. In the meantime, thank you. We're out, guys. Thank you very much.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incontech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.